Hey, welcome to night school. And this is a true blue night school. Another one where I'm laying in bed talking into my phone. In this case, it's not early morning. It's actually very late at night after midnight, and I can't sleep. The last time I laid in bed and did one of these, I talked about the girls that I had crushes on in kindergarten through fourth grade. So hopefully we're going to be a little more sophisticated than that, although there's nothing really any more sophisticated than that to talk about, as far as I'm concerned. But what's on my mind is, well, first of all, I'm coming off of what I believe was a severe electrolyte deficiency. I've been sick in the last week for the first time in a while, but overall I think I've been suffering from a severe electrolyte deficiency, which also led me to learn what electrolytes are. I thought they were their own thing, and I associated them with Gatorade, as I'm sure many people do. I thought they were their own thing entirely, and they were just this thing that's in Gatorade, or just this thing that you can find in some things. I didn't realize that sodium, magnesium, potassium, all these eums, I didn't realize that those themselves were electrolytes, so I learned something. And the diet that I've been on for about the last 6 months, a very low-carb diet, it requires you to supplement with electrolytes, even if you don't exercise. And I exercise heavily, and I have not been supplementing electrolytes at all. And some of the symptoms that are associated with electrolyte deficiency, I've had ongoing now for months and months. A lot of general fatigue and more weakness than I should feel. But in the last week, I've just felt just immensely fatigued and weak. And I think it was a combination of a virus and some kind of deficiency. And I've started taking the supplements. And so now I'm feeling like I have a lot more energy all of a sudden, whether it's placebo effect or not. Placebo effect is legit. That's the power of the mind. We act like the placebo effect is nothing. It's like, oh, it's some sort of weird little dishonest trick we play on ourselves. But really, you should reframe the entire way you see the placebo effect and think that's just how powerful your mind is, that you think you're taking something that helps you, so your body, in turn, takes some sort of message from your mind and does a lot of the work itself. You think about Wolverine from X-Men. He can heal himself. I think he can do that. It's some sort of weird little thing he does. He can heal faster than normal. Well, that's you with the placebo effect, so don't downplay the placebo effect. But what I actually wanted to talk about wasn't electrolytes, and it wasn't the placebo effect. It was alternate realities. And in the last night school, or one of the last ones, I was talking about how it's not really worth thinking about that idea that there's in some other universe somewhere, there's another version of you doing the same thing or doing some different thing, but it's you, and how there's all these different universes where you're doing things and things are playing out either identically or different, but because there's a possibility that that can happen, it means that it probably is happening. It's just one of those things that smart people like to talk about, but I don't think is really worth my time. Yet somehow I feel that alternate realities are worth my time to think about, so go figure. But in my opinion, alternate realities aren't real. They're alternate realities because they exist in your imagination, and that's still a powerful thing, and there's still a certain reality to that. In the same way that fiction, you know, reading a fiction book, yeah, it's not real, but in reading it, it almost becomes real. It takes a certain life in your imagination, almost like a dream, or almost like the imagination itself. And what's interesting about alternate realities is they come to exist when you make a decision or don't make a decision, when you take a certain path or don't take a certain path. And the second that you either make that decision or don't make that decision, it almost creates a ghost version of you in that moment. And it's fun sometimes, fun and just interesting to think about how certain things in your life would have played out if you made that decision or didn't make that decision and thus created that alternate reality. And, you know, we make so many decisions that your life is basically a, like in photo, if you've ever used Photoshop or something and you create a layer of a photo and you put it on top of that photo and you adjust the transparency, you probably can't really see what's going, you probably can't really tell depending on like what kind of settings you have that there's another layer there. But if you move that layer just slightly and adjust the transparency, you see this kind of, it kind of makes the image look blurry, or it gives you this like ghosted version of the image over the original image. And that's sort of what happens when you make a decision that creates this other alternate reality. This other, you know, possible turn of events that could have played out. And it could be something as simple as like when you walk to the like making the decision to walk from the couch to the pantry to get another Oreo. You know, you create an alternate reality where you either eat the Oreo or you don't eat the Oreo. But of course, it usually, you know, I don't usually think about that. I don't usually think about those small alternate realities, although your life really is this heavily layered version of these ghosted events. Ghosted events, I like that. But your life really is, if you think about it, this layer upon layer of ghosted events that could have played out or did play out, or, you know, everything just kind of lays on top of each other. And, you know, it could be something as simple as choosing just to do something like that, to get something out of the fridge. But it could also be like, oh, what if I had stayed in that relationship? Or, you know, what if I had stayed at that job? And you almost have to imagine yourself. You have to take like a, you know, it's almost Christmas time. So I'll say a Christmas Carol sort of approach and imagine the ghost of Christmas future is showing you how your life would have played out if you had stuck it out. You know, when that ex-girlfriend contacted you 5 years after you broke up, the girlfriend who, who broke your heart, and then 5 years later she wants to get back together, you know, what would have happened if you had gotten back together? And when I think about those little alternate realities that you can kind of see play out in your imagination, so many of them just become some sort of repetition. What would have happened is I just would have repeated that. If I stayed in that relationship, I would have repeated the same thing over and over again indefinitely until I finally made another decision. And what I've noticed is a lot of people are kind of seeking repetition in their life. You know, if I'd stayed in that job, I would have ended up just repeating this pattern over and over again. And if I had done that, I wouldn't have broke some other pattern, or I wouldn't have come to some realization. It's not something as simple as going from one repetitive behavior to another, because that's how some lives play out. And I mean, that's how certain things in everybody's lives play out, where it's like you do this over and over and over again, and then finally you make some kind of decision, or life forces a decision upon you, or you don't make the decision, somebody else makes the decision for you. But either way, something changes. But then you just end up in this other groove where you end up repeating something else over and over and over again. And you just do that. You just basically jump between these grooves, you know. And that's an interesting life to some people, is just jumping between those grooves. But you never really change who you are. You never really change shape mentally or physically or anything else. So you're basically jumping between these tracks until you die. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's really anything wrong with anything outside of hurting people or, you know, being a malicious, nasty person. And that includes hurting yourself. I think there's something wrong with living a life where you're malicious toward yourself, even though that's your right. And it's not quite as hellish as being malicious toward other people. I think when you're cruel to yourself, you ultimately do end up being cruel to other people. And so that's a whole other issue. But, you know, I do think there's something wrong with that. I think there's something wrong with self-destruction. And there's a reason why, you know, certain spiritual beliefs believe that, say, ghosts, whether you believe in ghosts or not. I was already talking about ghosted events, but there's a reason why ghosts are often thought of as people who kind of fucked up, self-destructive people. You kill yourself to escape Earth, and now you're a ghost chained to Earth forever. You know, there's a reason why that's kind of a thought in people's minds. You know, you really have to, you know, remind yourself at how many decisions you actually make on a day-to-day basis, on a weekly basis, monthly, yearly, throughout your life, and how those decisions do create this kind of imprint of what could have been or what could be, which might be a waste of time sometimes. It's, you know, you shouldn't think back on something as like what could have been and be wistful about it, but you should think about who you would have been if you had stuck to a certain path or stayed exactly where you were. You should think about that. You should think, because you know, you're leaving behind who you are at any given moment anyway. You know, from one moment to the next, you are leaving something behind. You are leaving who you were behind. And in some cases, that's people's greatest fear. We cling to things, even unhealthy things, you know, talking about that self-destructive side and, you know, being cruel to yourself. And sometimes we cling to that because it's an identity. And other times we make a decision to get away from that. Because, I mean, I've thought before, not too in depth, but I've thought before, oh, what would have happened? You know, it's now been over a year since I quit drinking. What would have happened if I had just kept doing what I was doing? I haven't envisioned that because I don't think it would be healthy for me to really completely visualize that. And it's not like I would be on the street or dead necessarily or anything like that. It wasn't like that. But I think bad things would have continued to happen. Even beyond the physically bad things that were happening, mentally bad things, I think spiritually very bad things would have continued to happen, but I don't need to envision those. It does me no service to visualize those. But it's interesting to imagine that there is an alternate reality ghosted somewhere in my mind of what if I hadn't stopped doing that? What if I had not made the decision, which it absolutely was, a clear-cut decision to stop drinking? What if I hadn't made that decision? You know, that's a vision I don't need to look at. And, you know, just in the same way where you can look back and say, what if I had stayed in that relationship way back when? And you don't have to think about, you know, some detailed, you know, you don't have to watch some movie of exactly what that would be, but you can just think of the bigger picture of what that would be, and all of the little bumps and ups and downs that you've gone through since then, and how those would just be flatlined, and no doubt replaced with other ups and downs and bumps and bruises and good things as well. But still, it would be the stuff that you did go through is just completely flatlined. It's just turned gray. It's just melted into this gray non-existence. And as cliche as it is, I am a true believer in everything happening for a reason. A girl I went to high school with, sort of a friend for a while, I remember when she was old enough to get a tattoo, she got one just above her pelvis, or like kind of on her pelvis, that said everything happens for a reason. And I always thought that was great. What a tattoo, especially an early tattoo. Like when you're young. I feel like that was probably one of her first tattoos. Not someone I've stayed in touch with. I mean, I haven't stayed in touch with many people. And at least not deeply. Because that is a whole other alternate timeline, the alternate timeline where you stay in your hometown and you have the same friends that you grew up with forever and you talk about the same things. And there's a comfort in that. There's that king of the hill sort of comfort where you could be standing around with your friends and you have kids at this point and you married someone from your high school. And you're talking about the football game from high school, and you're 45, you're 50 years old, and you're talking about the big game from high school. I am not disparaging that at all, but I am also glad that I didn't end up on that timeline. Because that's the sort of comfortable repetition I'm talking about. That's somebody who didn't even jump from one groove to another groove of repetition. That's someone who just stayed on the same groove, almost like a lock groove in a record. That's sort of like the lock groove life, where it just, the record ends and just, or just a part of a record just repeats the same thing, the same like 2 second clip over and over again. You know, it becomes a beat. It becomes like just this simple heartbeat of one sound. And that's what some people pursue. That's what some people do. They end up marrying somebody from their hometown. And what's just a crazy phenomena to me that I've seen only through social media is I've seen people from my hometown who have gotten married or even dated, but now it's at the stage where a lot of people have gotten married, and they're people who I never in a million years would have paired together. They didn't have anything in common. There was no like social overlap. They just didn't seem like people who would ever have any reason to come together. But years go by, and they get into their grooves, and these people have gotten married, and they came from the same town, and that's a big thing. I was watching a documentary about birds earlier today, some sort of weird exotic, not exotic birds like in the parrot sense, but just weird birds. It showed a brief clip of the Bird of Paradise, which I love. I recommend looking up the Bird of Paradise if you ever have a chance. And this wasn't the Bird of Paradise. It was some sort of long-necked bird. But it talked about how that bird does this great migration, but it ends up coming back to where it was born to find a mate. This species of bird does that. I don't know if all birds do that or many birds do, but this bird does that. And I immediately thought of this subject of like, wow, like, you know, a lot of people go off on these life adventures and they come back and they end up just marrying somebody from their hometown. Sometimes even someone who was a lot younger, who they didn't even know in school, and they just end up with that person. And it's like there is a comfort to that. And I totally see the comfort in that. And again, I'm not disparaging it, but it also just kind of blows my mind. Anyway, how did I get on this? I feel like Dr. Phil. I don't know, somehow. I feel like I don't think he talks about this. I guess it's those alternate realities, and that alternate reality where you ended up staying in your hometown and just going through this obvious process. And I'm certainly guilty of my own repetitions and my own comforts, and I'm hardly some enterprising person who's really gone out into the world. I don't travel a lot. You know, at this point, my social life has dried up quite a bit. I live a pretty boring life, I think, in many ways, but there's a comfort to that. I'm hardly out there, you know, riding ships, you know, into strange lands. So I'm not saying that I have any like sort of, I don't have the superiority of an interesting life. But I do make a lot of decisions, and I also try to minimize a lot of decisions in my life. I think when you make a lot of little unimportant decisions, you lose a lot of energy, and you lose sight of how much power you have to make bigger decisions. And, you know, spending a lot of time trying to decide what to wear in the morning. As much as I've never really thought about this guy, I know that Steve Jobs wore the same thing every day, or he at least wore it to his presentations. And a lot of people have tried to mimic that. And there's a reason. And it's because having to make that decision every day, you know, I don't wear the same outfit every day, but I wear a pretty basic template of clothing. And in doing that, you know, that's one decision I don't have to make. And on days when I do make a decision on what to wear, it feels special. It feels like I'm doing something special. And that's kind of nice to have dressing yourself feel special, and like making a decision on what to wear feel special. And it's the same thing really with your diet. I don't know if, you know, I don't know what other people's diets are. I don't really pay that much attention to that. I try to listen to like what's healthy, what's a good balance. You know, obviously I now know that I need electrolytes. Hopefully my life is just going to shoot through the moon. Hopefully that decision to start consuming electrolyte supplements is going to just like, that's the decision that's, you know, that ghost of myself that didn't take electrolytes is just going to look, you know, I'll be peering in at that with the ghost of Christmas future, just being like, oh, that weak, tired, fatigued, angry version of myself that didn't have electrolytes. What would have been if I had stayed like that, that shriveled person? You know, hopefully I'll look back on that. But I think, too, like, having kind of a uniform diet, like eating the same thing every day, there's nothing wrong with that. As I mentioned in the last school night episode, one of my few pleasures these days is just meat. I do like to vary up the meat that I'm eating. And other than that, though, there's really very little variation in my diet. It's, for the most part, a very clean diet, you know, to some degree raw. I don't see the point in adding much of a treatment to things, partially because I don't cook. I never really learned to cook. But keeping it very simple, very raw, you know, obviously you want to cook them meats. But still, I think by not having to make a decision every day about what to eat, I feel so much more freedom. And the pleasure that I would feel from having a wide variation of food is actually less than the relief of just having like a schedule, a designed, you know, regimen of what I eat every day. I don't have to think about what I'm going to have for breakfast or any of that. And as much as that sounds boring and all that, it's like when I was going out, like I think back to like a couple years ago when I had a bigger budget and I was smoking more weed. I'm not smoking any weed. I got stoned at a Halloween party. It was the first time I'd been stoned in like 6 months, and I haven't smoked since then. So like I have not been smoking any weed this year, really. But I think back to a couple years ago when I smoked more weed and I had more money, and I would go to the grocery store and, like, you know, the world was available to me. You know, I could get takeout. I had all these options available to me. I wasn't on a special diet. Everything was wonderful. I could just, you know, spoil myself to death with whatever food I wanted. And I would have this existential meltdown at the grocery store trying to decide what I wanted for dinner. And I would get bored. Even though I had all this variation available, I would get so bored. And I would just be like, oh, nothing sounds good. And it's the same, it's that common joke where you go to the fridge and you open it and the fridge is full of stuff and none of it sounds good. That was my life. I would have this fridge full of stuff. I would load up on stuff at Trader Joe's, stuff that I loved, and then I would look at it in my fridge and think, none of it looks good. None of this looks good. And then I would go to the store and I'd be like, oh, some of this looks good, but I don't know what I want. You know, I don't know, I just don't know what I want. I had a friend and her boyfriend used to call her at lunch every day. They had different schedules, and he would ask her what he should eat for lunch, and that always just blew my mind. But I understand. That's the thing. It blew my mind, but I understand. Anyway, like, you know, just that idea of like having all these options available to you, but you just can't decide. And to go back to like, you know, dressing yourself in the morning, it's the same thing. If you put too much, if you give yourself too many options as far as like what you should wear in the morning, it's no different than like what you should eat for dinner. You just can't decide if you have too many options. So limiting it or having like a basic template, like for me, like I have a basic template for like what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to eat. And I think if you do that with as many things as you can, you know, you give yourself a little bit of leeway, but that way, like when you do want to do something different, it's once again special. Like when I do want to eat something that's like outside of that routine, it feels special and it's exciting, and you keep that excitement, you know, alive, whereas it's not exciting to give yourself too many options each day. You free yourself up for the larger decisions, like I was saying. And those larger decisions, those are like what create the true alternate realities. Like I was saying, yeah, if you don't get up and eat that Oreo that you want, that does create an alternate reality where you didn't eat the Oreo and therefore you're probably going to feel slightly better later, or maybe you do feel better because it tasted so damn good. That Oreo just changed your life. It was the best Oreo. It was the best thing you could have done in that moment. That's going to create an alternate reality, but it's the big decisions that create the true alternate reality. You're not going to look back 5 years later and think, you know, what would my life have been like if I didn't eat that Oreo? That Oreo. Whereas you are going to look back and be like, you know, what would my life be like if I kept on doing that? If I, you know, kept on lying to my boss about, I don't know what you were lying to your boss about. If I, you know, what would my life have been like if I kept drinking? What would my life have been like if I didn't get married? All these big life decisions. There's only, and that's the thing too, is you realize there's, you know, as complicated as we make our lives, there aren't that many events that go on. There's not that many different sets of circumstances that are big enough to create that huge alternate reality that you can look back on years later. I remember a friend was in town once and we were thinking about getting an extra order of onion rings and we didn't. And like later that night we were like, damn, we should have gotten those onion rings. Those sounded really good. And that's hilarious to me now. Like we were kind of joking about it, but kind of there was a little bit of truth to it. We were kind of like, you know, we should have gotten those onion rings. And if you leave a situation and you're not starving to death and you're reflecting on how you should have gotten those onion rings, something's wrong. You know, something's wrong. And then the next night we made that joke again and it was still kind of only a half joke. There was still this element of truth to those onion rings. And again, maybe there was something magical where if we had gotten those onion rings, we would have been blessed. We would have been blessed for years to come, but probably not. Those onion rings would have been no more blessed than that Oreo that you didn't eat. But, you know, the actual events that do create a true, the true ghosted events, the things that create a true ghost in your mind. And it's not necessarily a bad ghost or a good ghost. It just creates that ghost, that slightly transparent layer on top of your current life. The things that create those are big things, and they're created by big decisions. They're not created by small decisions that you ultimately wasted time on. So I would recommend that anyone, not that I'm someone who should be telling anybody how to live their lives or that I'm an example of anything, but hopefully I can just share some insight. And I do feel like it's insight because this is stuff that I didn't know until relatively recently, and I feel like it's really helped clear my mind and made my life easier in some ways, in a lot of ways. So if somebody listening to this, you know, gains anything from it, I hope it's just that free yourself up for the bigger decisions and therefore the bigger events, because the bigger events in your life will come from those bigger decisions in a lot of cases. You know, I could dissect this and be like, well, small decisions ultimately lead to big things in the long run. And that's important to remember. I like to use the example of a boat where you can't just, you know, unless it's a speed boat and then it's reckless as fuck and you're going to like get into a speed boat accident. But, you know, if you're in a ship, let's say just a big ship, you can't just turn it around. You can't just suddenly turn it in a certain direction. You have to just adjust the rudder slightly and adjust it even in the opposite direction from where you want to go. You turn the rudder in the opposite direction from where you want to go. And that will point you in a very slightly different direction where you're not even going to feel at first like you're going in a different direction. But after a mile, after 5 miles or whatever they use to measure, like, traveling by ship. I feel like they have all these different words, like fathoms or other shit that I don't understand. I don't understand ship talk. And I'm glad that I don't try to use ship talk, because I'm not a ship guy. Yet I use ship metaphors. I throw my ship metaphors out there at will. You adjust that rudder just so slightly, and you don't feel like you're making that much of a change in direction, yet, you know, 10 miles later, you've suddenly veered off drastically, and things are different, but you made that small decision. So I shouldn't say that small decisions won't do anything. They're just not likely to be something as simple as, like, eating an Oreo or not. But that eating an Oreo, here I go, just dissecting my own ideas, but eating that Oreo could be part of a bigger picture. Not eating that Oreo could be part of just being healthier in general. And, you know, you're not going to just eat one Oreo anyway. So not eating that one Oreo is going to make you not eat the next Oreo. And probably not, if you're like me, then not eat the next Oreo. Because, I mean, if I'm eating Oreos, I'm eating, you know, half the package or the whole package. I'm just loading my body into just an absolute sugar shock that'll take me days to recover from. So not eating that one Oreo probably means not eating the whole package, and therefore you're making just a major, major health decision by not eating that one Oreo. So in that way, not eating Oreos is kind of like adjusting the rudder to a ship. But you should actually limit yourself entirely. If you just don't even give yourself the option of eating the Oreo or not eating the Oreo, that's going to free you up to make a bigger decision. And then if you have your food all lined up for the day, and it's like, I know basically what I'm going to eat throughout the day, that's just one decision you don't have to make, and therefore you can put that energy toward a bigger decision. So I feel like I am right in favoring the big decisions here. What to do from there, I don't know. You know, we all ultimately end up dying. And that's not a decision. That itself doesn't seem to be a decision. But maybe there will be some alternate reality in some futuristic world where we do have the option whether or not we want to die. But I feel like things are going to look a lot different by that point. Although it'd be interesting to know, like, if it really came down to it and we truly had the option to decide whether or not we want to die, not necessarily right now, but at old age or at any given point, but if we reached a certain point and God came down and was like, well, you've reached the point where I was going to kill you, where I was going to take your life, but, you know, you humans have advanced so far along that I'm going to give you the option. Do you want to die right now or not? I wonder how many people would say yes. I think, you know, there'd be a lot of different factors to consider. And, you know, if it was just if at any point, like at any age, you had the option, which you do. I mean, everybody has the option to kill themselves. But if it was just like a yes or no light switch sort of thing, where you could just like flip the switch up or down, you didn't have to go through the dilemma of like some grotesque like suicide. You know, if you didn't have to go through that, if it was just like flicking a switch or just answering yes or no, raising your right hand, raise your right hand if you want to die. You know, I wonder how many people would do it, especially in this age where you have so many young people. I see it online a lot. Like, I see a lot of these like so-called memes that are all about kind of like depressed people wanting to die. And I wonder if given the option, how many of them would just say yes. If it were just a quick lights out, how many of them would say yes? How many people would, that would be a major decision. That would be, you know, to go back to the idea of big decisions versus small decisions, that would be a pretty big decision. But I'm going to go ahead and turn the lights out on this episode. Hopefully it had some consistency and focus. Started talking about alternate realities, and it ended talking about having the option to die or not, and whether people would take it. And that would create the ultimate alternate reality, that alternate reality where I decided to die, or that alternate reality where I decided to not die. The ultimate alternate reality.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave, this golden land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, I see a land where children can run free. Take my hand and walk this land with me, and walk this lovely land with me.